All right, welcome. Good to see you again for Path to Purchase Week 5. So this is the second half of the Path to Purchase course, all about leading up to the sales page. So we have a session on writing the sales page. We have a really cool session with extra materials like ways to hold face-to-face sales conversations or Zoom sales conversations. But today we're going to really pull some kind of building blocks together. So we're going to sketch out the customer that we want to talk to. Like, until you know who you're talking to, you can't really communicate persuasively. We're going to gain a little bit more clarity on what specifically we're going to offer them. We're going to just narrow down the next path. And then we're going to pull together some Lego, so some building blocks for our sales page, some messages, ideas, key things that we want to get across when we're putting our communication together. This half of Path to Purchase is a collaboration with Pamela Wilson. She was my longtime colleague, a copy blogger. Actually, Pamela was a student of mine way, way, way back in the day when she was transitioning from being a brick and mortar business owner to being a digital business owner. So she designed the sales page template and a lot of the materials and the worksheets. And then I have added some of my own, just things that I've learned over the years. So this is a collaborative piece. So to that note, we have our usual class notes, but also Pamela has created worksheets. And so you can work either way. You can get a downloadable PDF worksheet for today's session, or you can just go to class notes and type it in the Google Doc or both. You can do however you want to do. I believe there's one session in this back half that has just Pamela's worksheets because her stuff covered everything. All right, so today we're just going to really get a little more clarity on a few important components of persuading to people. And I will tell you that you might have, and I have done these exercises before. You may have put these exercises off before. I have also done that. And you might have resisted doing these exercises at all before. And I have also spent some time on that. These are very commonly some of the questions that are at the beginning of, persuasive courses or processes. And they can be kind of boring, but more than boring, they can call up a lot of resistance because I think because if I say I want to serve this kind of customer, let's say the dogs and cats things, if I say I want this sales piece to talk to dog owners, immediately there's a part of me that says, but what about all the cat owners? They could use it too. Parrots could use it too. And we start fretting about the paths that we are cutting off. We need to know that we're doing that and resist. So this is work that is worth doing. Of spending the time. And I think it's also worth remembering you are not trying to define Mr. or Ms. Right. It is not the perfect forever potential client or potential customer. It is the Mr. or Ms. Right now. It's the next person you're going to have a sales conversation with. And a sales page is just a conversation that happens on a page. So try not to worry about who you're leaving behind. It may be helpful to, as you're capturing the kind of perfect client, perfect customer information, you might keep a second document running that is about other kinds of people you might want to serve. Just sketch out a few notes. You're not losing anybody by narrowing down. And interestingly, you will find that if, let's say, you really tailor your copy to the dog owner part of your audience, right? That one part of your audience, maybe you tailored the page to women, but you also have men customers or whatever it might be. Because you are speaking more specifically to one person, your copy will be more resonant with all people. So even if in your head you're picturing the dog owner, the cat owner might very well say, they might very well come to you and say, could I get this for my cat? In which case you would say, yeah, it works great for cats too. Or you might tack that at the very, very end. For example, in an FAQ, I don't have a dog, but I do have a cat. Would this work for them? Yes, it would. I'm obviously using dogs and cats just as stands-in for larger questions. So speak to a defined individual, Mr., Ms., etc., right now. But think of it as a specific single person, and that's going to make all your copy work better, no matter what else you do. All right, so we're going to divide this. We are going to get a break today, as we usually do. The first chunk is going to be, who is this person that we are speaking to in our sales page, in our sales sequence, in the email newsletter? Who is this person we're talking with? And this would be, of course, we want to talk to the person who's in the best position to give us money, right, for this offer, the best match. And we're going to talk about some of the components that create them. So we'll get a little brainstorming in this. I'm just going to let us do a little free writing for like a minute per question. And then just continue fleshing these out on your own time. But I want to give you a little time to think and reflect. So just before we get into some specifics, give some thought, even just on a gut check level, about who you don't want to serve. Are there people who you really do not want to show up for? And that could be, it can either be somebody who you're just not a good fit for. Like I have a wonderful, wonderful client who does like nutrition coaching, but he doesn't work at all with people with eating disorders because he's not qualified and he just doesn't even want to go there. It's not that those people don't deserve service, but he is not the right service for them. So it's not necessarily like they're not necessarily bad people, but they're just people that are not suitable for you. So if you have any thoughts on that, you can just kind of, and grab something to write with, just kind of sketch out some notes, or just keep in mind, who is this really not for? Because nothing is for everybody, right? We're not Coca-Cola. We're not, some huge company with customers that number in the billions. We have small businesses. We can't serve an infinite number of people. So it's important to weed out the ones that are not a good fit. And then, of course, the alternate side of that coin is, okay, so who's the best person we can serve? Who's the person we can serve? We can bring them the most value, and they're the most enjoyable for us to work with, and they're a profitable customer. So I'm going to talk a little bit about mindset. Do they have the right mindset, the right client mindset, the right attitude? Are they coming to this? Some businesses might be really good for somebody who's just super enthusiastic and blue sky and optimistic and ready to go. Other businesses actually work really well with people who have kind of been there and done that and are a little skeptical. So how are they coming to you? Where are they mentally, psychologically, and all the other ways as they come to you in this moment? We're going to talk about their awareness level. And then I'm going to give you an extra credit exercise. You can do the VESPA exercise for your customer, and that can be a good way to take a quick snapshot. So mostly in the next few minutes, I'm going to be talking about material from Pamela's worksheet, and you can grab that worksheet in the replay. Okay, awareness. This is a really critical piece of information we have to have about buyers, and sometimes we forget to kind of document it. The best buyer is someone who needs the thing we offer. They know that they need it. It's not like a, bottom nine tenths of the iceberg situation where they don't know there's a problem. They're aware of the problem. They get that this is an issue. It's something that they want, need, and want two very different things, right? They might know that they need life insurance or a new roof, but they don't really want to spend money on life insurance or a new roof. They'd rather spend money on a new pair of shoes or a cool new piece of electronics, or going out to a nice restaurant. So they perfect, perfect in a perfect world, they need it. They know they need it. They want it. And then this one is a kind of a non-negotiable. They're willing and they are able to spend money on it. They've got the budget. You're selling to people who have the budget for the thing you need. Now, there is a certain amount of education you can do on these, other than they either have the budget or they don't. So if they don't know they need it, you can sometimes educate them that they need it. If they don't want it, sometimes you can, describe it in a way that makes it more desirable. But those are all marketing problems. If you can pick the buyer that already ticks these boxes, you create less headaches for yourself. So anytime you can do that, you need to do that. Now, some of us are in topics where, maybe people just don't, there's just not enough people who know about the thing, and we are going to need to do more education. Content is superb for that. Email is superb for that. But ideal world, look for who ticks these four boxes and focus on them. Okay, so we've got certain external descriptors. This is normally like if you're at an event and somebody says, "Oh, what do you do and who do you do it for?" The external ones, mine for a long time has been women and intelligent men. Maybe you serve single parents, maybe you serve people who are mid-career and they want to change direction. They've been attorneys and they want to become coaches or something along those lines. You might be serving people who are new in their career, young professionals. Or you might be serving one of the almost infinite number of people who are doing things for their own enjoyment. You might be serving knitters, dog owners, people who love to read. You might be serving people who love old cars. There's right almost an infinite number of things people are interested in that might be what you help them out with on whatever level. And, I focus mostly on digital businesses because we're mostly focusing on digital marketing, but you may very well offer physical stuff to these people. You might offer, you might offer vintage car parts. You might offer beautiful supplies for a hobby. So the internal descriptors, the inside of who this person is that you want to talk with. And by the way, when you sort of understand who somebody is inside and out, and you speak to that person tends to show up. And it seems a little spooky, but what's really happening is a lot of people you don't see are seeing you on social, your email list. And then the ones you are really speaking to heart to heart, the internal descriptors, you're really empathizing with them, they will materialize and you'll be like, I had no idea that person was there. Lots of people lurk, right? Most people are never going to reply to an email and talk to you. Most people are never going to, interact with you on social, but they might read what you're doing every day. So it's a little spooky how when you speak to the perfect person shows up. Nothing magic is happening. It's just that they felt that bond of empathy and then they step forward to identify themselves. So the internal descriptors are how we close the gap. Anytime we are selling or persuading anybody of anything, there's where they are now, and then there's a gap, and then there's where we would, in an ideal world, like them to go, right? We would like them to buy something. We would like them to take an action of some kind. Our empathy is how we build a safe bridge so that they feel good about crossing that gap. They don't feel like they're making some kind of scary leap. They feel like, okay, I feel safe here. I feel like this is a good decision. And I feel like there's something I want on the other side of the bridge. If you think about the gap, where are they now? And what is the gap between where they are now and where you in your business would like them to go? And then making that a safe road. That's really what persuasion is, and all the tips and tricks and techniques and hacks and all the rest of it, that's all it is just building that bridge so people want to cross the gap and they feel safe crossing the gap. That's all salesmanship is. Okay, so when we're looking at some of the ways, and there's an infinite number of ways to empathize with people, and we all know that. But looking at some things like what's their where do what do they prefer to use as media? What do they prefer to use to take in information? Because of course this can help you find people. So are they on a social platform? If they are, which platform or platforms? Do they like to read books? Do they like to read books on Kindle, or do they would they rather read a physical book? If they're not, they may not be very digital. This might be somebody you're reaching with direct mail, right? You can send a FedEx package to their office because that they'll see. Whereas your expensive LinkedIn ad, they will never see. So, what's their kind of preferred information intake environment? Do they like to watch movies on Netflix? Do they like to watch videos on YouTube? Where are they in terms of how they take information in? We're all right in information overload, but people tend to have strong preferences. And if you know how they're taking in information, you can know how to start or continue a conversation. What do they like to do in their free time? This is a really good source of empathetic copy where just the little details of the copy resonate with that person. So it's a very different thing in copy to say you're going to feel you're going to feel like you just scored a pair of symphony tickets versus you're going to feel like you just scored a pair of Beyonce tickets. Those two people do two different, they see two different kinds of music in their free time. One wants to see a classical piece, one wants to see a Beyonce concert. And empathizing with who this person is will help you come up with that. And honestly, it does not matter if the individual person does not happen to necessarily care for Beyonce. It really doesn't. You can use memes and references that that person's familiar with. They will get they'll understand the reference, even if that might not be their favorite performer. Maybe they like a, maybe they're a Kendrick Lamar fan. I don't know. They're a different fan. They like something else, but they get what you're saying and they feel a connection to you because what you're saying is relevant to who they are. What do they long to become? This is a big question, and it's a question that has multiple kind of milestones, right? So, do they long to become, let's use the concert example. They want to become a classical concert violinist. They want to work for a symphony orchestra as a violinist. But maybe that's kind of the for some people, that's kind of the daydream. Like, wouldn't it be amazing to quit my job and play violin in the orchestra? For other people, they're in music school. They're looking at, auditioning for orchestras. They're much closer on that path. It's not really a fantasy, it's a more achievable reality. They're both great because you could take the person who just they've learned, they've maybe done the beginnings of learning to play violin. They're not very good, but they'd really like to play much more beautifully with expression and be able to play more difficult pieces. It's a long journey, right? Understand what is the end point of that journey, even if that end point is not a realistic outcome for that person. And then what are the mileposts along the way? There's just beginning to learn how to make sounds on the violin. And then there's learning to play simple pieces. And then there's, and there's a miles, there's a milestone there, right? There's techniques for auditioning. There's all kinds of things. Where is your product or service along that path? And understand what that path looks like. How did they get to where they are now? And where do they want to go? Everybody's on a journey, right? Everybody's on many journeys. So thinking about the heart journey for your person? And then what is it about your solution that's going to help them get there? So why is your solution going to be useful? Why is your solution the one they would prefer to have, the one they want, not only need? So what is it about what you're offering that's going to make it faster? It's going to make it easier. It's going to make it more fun. It's going to make it more realistic. What is it about what you do and how you do it? Your solution is the thing you do, and then your methodology, the school of, practice that you use, et cetera, et cetera. What is it about that that's going to get them further down their road in a way that they find appealing? So you have a worksheet from Pamela. It'll be in the replay. I can throw it in when we're done with the live session. I'll throw a link in so you can grab it now if you want it. But it's just a PDF worksheet. And also you can do this in the class notes so that we've sort of, it's like a belt and suspenders. You've got both options. Now I do have one bonus extra credit exercise if you want. And hold on one second because I'm just going to cough. Okay, I didn't want to cough in your ear. So it's an extra credit exercise and a way of cr like clicking a quick snapshot, especially if you have more of a threshold product and you'd like to just get a quick, just do a quick kind of gut check. You can go through the VESPA exercise for your buyer. And so just to reiterate, we won't, we didn't really free ride on these. That's all right. Just to reiterate VESPA values. So what do they care deeply about, right? Where are they coming from a values perspective? Especially a thing now because we're in a very charged environment. But we serve all different kinds of people. Some of us serve, people who are primarily of one religious faith. Some of us serve people who are we serve more men, we serve more women, we serve whatever it is they value. It's not necessarily, of course, a political thing, right? It can be family, it can be health, it can be appearances, sometimes values are not so noble. One of the values that drives a lot of people is people want to feel important and they want to feel special. And they don't necessarily want to admit that out loud, but most people do want to feel important and special. So thinking about that and how that boils down to feeling better about themselves. E is investment is for expertise, what they're bringing to the table. So again, they're on a journey for their particular goal that we're talking about here. What are their qualifications? If it's a professional service that you offer to other professionals, what are their credentials? What's their expertise? If it's more of a social thing, what's their context? What are they bringing when they come to you? What's their baggage, good and bad? Strategy, what is it that they want to do? And in a really rough way, how do they want to do it? So they want to improve their violin playing, and they want to use the I don't know, is it the Suzuki method, right? They like the Suzuki method. They write about it, and they want to do that method because that sounds like something they would like to do. Now they may not. You may be speaking to an audience that doesn't know about that method, in which case the content will do a little work about here's why I use the Suzuki method. It has these benefits. You're going to avoid these pitfalls. You're going to get, you're going to learn faster. It's going to be more enjoyable, and you're going to stick with it. I don't play violin, but I know people who do. Personality, again, this is just the vibe. Obviously, all of your buyers are going to have different personalities. Everybody has a different personality, but do you want to serve people who are more easygoing, or do you want to serve people who are super detail-oriented? Do you want to serve people who are, again, really optimistic and, wide-eyed, or do you want to serve people who have been around the block and have a little cynicism and are willing to even maybe push back on you if you're a one-to-one service provider? I have a great coaching client, and she does she helps businesses organize their tech, but she doesn't like to have clients who won't push back and say, "I'm not sure that's going to work." She doesn't want somebody who's just going to say yes and then kind of not do anything. So, what kind of personality are you looking for? And then, action and VESPA can translate to what are they already trying now? What are they doing now to try and, is it nothing? That's the most common one. Have they kind of tried this? Have they kind of tried that? Most people have kind of noodled around a little bit, at least looked into a few things. So what have they already tried or they're noodling around with? All of this is just for the mill, right? These are all ideas. Any one of these ideas can be turned into a whole email message, can be turned into a section of a sales page, and the sales page, template comes next week, but it's good to get yourself some building blocks before we get there. All right, here's a break. Fairly quick because we didn't do free writing, but that's okay. Those of us on the replay can pause and just think about it for a moment. So I'm going to take five. I invite you to take five. Get up, stretch. Get regrounded, get recentered. The second half today. Usually the first half's a little longer. Today, the second half, I think, is a little bit longer. And we're going to talk about what you're offering and the way that that maps onto a sales message. So if you're a little fuzzy on that, or especially my service provider friends, I feel your pain. A lot of times we're real fuzzy. I have an amazing new client and she can do anything. She could probably send a rocket launch to the moon if she needed to. So she falls into that trap of she does everything for everybody. It's exhausting, right? And it's not very profitable. So we'll talk about narrowing that down. So let's come back at, let's say, 32 past the hour. I will take a break and rest my voice, and we'll start up again in 5.